Hi, everyone, and yes, greetings again from Atlanta, Georgia, where it is not sunny outside. It's actually quite dark and rainy. But wherever you are, I want you to know that I feel you in my heart, and it's my intention this morning, as I share briefly with you, my intention to tap into something that I feel is the ultimate gift for you, meaning that my prayer is that you hear with fresh ears, that you receive with an open heart, and that anything that doesn't feel like it's in alignment for you, you have the liberated ability and choice to just let that go. So keep what works for you and perhaps discard the rest. And I also add a caveat to that all the time, and that is notice the things that you don't want to keep. And perhaps that's where the gold is. Perhaps that's where the breakthrough is. And so just be gentle and know that I have invoked and allowed myself to be this instrument, and let's see what happens. So when Britt invited me to do this, I got quiet for a moment as I wanted to see what I might talk about. And immediately the word shape-shifting came into my mind. Shape-shifting and spiritual shape-shifting. And it seemed relevant, and it seemed as though I was going to use that to be able to talk about the loyalty that we have to a lot of our identities, the masks that we wear. And I thought, oh, that's a really great way to phrase that in the shedding of these identities. And then when I Googled spiritual shape-shifting, I saw all these varied interpretations, which were fascinating. And the more that I kept returning to my original idea, the more I came up with this intention or this divine nudge to talk about really at the core of shape-shifting is pain. Yeah, yay, we're going to talk about pain for a little bit this morning. Pain. And what alleviates that pain, or what transcends us from that pain. And so I want to start with a story. This was a story that I was told in my ministerial training many, many, many years ago. And it was the analogy of going to the movies. And my teacher said that there are those who exist in our world who have no awareness of what a movie is. There are those of us in our world who are aware of a thing called a movie, but have never been to one. Don't know how to have access to the movie. There are those who are sitting at their homes contemplating and thinking about going to a movie. Do you remember years ago when the Sunday section of the newspaper, the entertainment section, would have all of the ads for all of the movies? And you could go and you could flip through and you could kind of see what it was that you were drawn through. Well, there are those people, let's say, who are doing that, whether they're doing it through online or whatever version of it is today, but they're going through and they're trying to decide, I wonder what movie I want to see. There are those who have already decided what movie they want, and they're en route to that. There are those who have arrived at the movie theater who are actually standing in line to buy a ticket. And there are those who have already bought the ticket who are inside at the concession stand. And there are those who have their respective popcorn and drink, and they're actually walking into the theater for the movie that they have selected. There are those who are in the midst of a movie, and there are those who are exiting who have already seen it. And my teacher explained this analogy as a way to understand collective consciousness. Collective consciousness, collective awareness, and that all of us are a part of this collective consciousness. So all of us are a part of this analogy of the movie. And wherever we are in the process, we are still collective. We are still one. And each of us are at various stages or stops along the way of this consciousness, or our unique expression of that self-awareness. One isn't better than the other. They're all just a part of that collective all. And they're an example of the expression. They're an example of the degree by which that allness is reflected from us. And the more that I would think about that analogy over the years, and I liked it, and I liked the way in which it showed that one phase isn't better than the other, but that we were all a part of the whole, I began to see how that analogy could also be used in the way in which we address freedom. I equate freedom with consciousness. And the more conscious we become, the more self-aware we become, the more loyal we are into leaning in and understanding, as Sarah so beautifully read in the Daily Word, what it is that we are and what we are a part of. The more that we become aware of that, the greater degree of our journey in seeing the movie being ultimate freedom. And each phase of that has with it an elimination of some degree of pain. And so how do we move along in the progression of that? How do we move along further into getting into the awareness of the movie? In other words, how do we move through the pain into whatever it is that lies on the other side of that, which is liberation or freedom? And the more that I began to think about that, and the more that I tried to compare that with this idea of shape-shifting or letting go identities, the more I realized that one of the most valuable tools that we have that doesn't cost us anything is simply this: telling the truth. Telling the truth. Man, the more that I began to sit with that, telling the truth, the more I began to see that it is not telling the truth, which is the thing that has created the personas, the many masks that we wear in our society. And so we are taught very much in the early phases of our adolescence to not do something, to not be something, to not cry, to not express, that certain expressions were wrong. And so that's a form of instructing us to not tell the truth. So we create this persona, or we put on this mask that says, then I must behave this way when I am in this particular setting. Then we get enrolled in, let's say, public education, and we're trying to fit in. And all of a sudden, we're realizing that sometimes how we are, or who we are, or how we are feeling is not comfortable for other people. So we don't tell the truth about how we're feeling. And again, we acquire more masks. And then we move on in a level of life where now we're a young adult, and now we're looking at what it is that we're supposed to do in the world. And we enter into various levels of tribalism of work. And again, trying to fit in, we acquire more masks, and we don't dare really tell the truth or share some level of vulnerability about us. And before you know it, we have crafted a life. We've crafted this life that is so dense and so laden with all of the masks that we don't really even know, perhaps, or can remember or recall in an instant what telling the truth really is. And so what that breeds is a sense of pain. What that breeds is a sense of loss. And so that pain is a divine reminder. It is the thing, it is the eternal love. It is the eternal nudging that keeps wanting to bring us home. And the way in which home is translated in the analogy is having seen the movie, and we move into the ultimate state of freedom. And so how do you and I begin to look at this idea of telling the truth? I look at our stay-at-home opportunity right now as a way to get back to uncovering our bravery, uncovering our truth, and to begin to speak from a place of authenticity. to begin to shapeshift, if you will, out of all of the mask that we've been wearing and all of the loyalty to the identities of who we think we need to be. I feel that collectively, we've all called this forward in some manner to give us the cosmic pause, to give us that personal permission inside of us to be able to breathe. And Michael Beckwith, the minister in Los Angeles at Agape, my favorite phrase of the many things that he has taught is this, and that is that pain pushes until the vision pulls. So what if vision in that particular quote is the representation of freedom, and that the pain that we are feeling, the lack of telling the truth, keeps pushing us into the line to get to the movie until finally we are at the movie, and that which is the freedom can pull us, the vision can pull us into what it is that we need to be. I think it is the energy of love that does that. And no matter where we are a part of love. We are a part of the collective consciousness. That analogy of the movie is really an analogy about the allness of love. We are all in the process of expressing various aspects or degrees of love. And it's just that sometimes we forget, or we think that love has to be acquired. But really what we're doing, and the paradox of the analogy, is we think we're having to get somewhere, but we're already in the movie. We've just forgotten. We have just forgotten that we are a part of love, that we do not need to seek for love, but we just have to keep removing all of the mask. And the way that we do that is we tell the truth. So I want you to think today about pain. And I want you to think about what it means to tell the truth. And I want to ask you, really, are you willing to let this time move you in the direction of a greater sense of freedom? And if so, then like Zoe so beautifully sang in Use Me, then show me all that I must be. Show me all that I must do. Show me all of the mask that I'm wearing. And so I was thinking about the way in which we lie, and the way in which we do not tell the truth. And a lot of that is from preservation. We think that we have to do that. We think that who we are at our core or our feelings are wrong. And maybe we can use this collective time to cleanse that a little bit and to begin to try out what it means to tell the truth. Maybe you can find one person. Maybe you can find a collection of people who are in agreement to hold a sacred space, a sacred container, to let you tell the truth, to tell the truth about how you're feeling, to tell the truth about where you think you are as a spiritual being, rather than us constantly photoshopping our spirituality and thinking that it has to look a certain way, that we have to act a certain way in order to be even heard or considered, that we begin to strip away all of that to such a degree and with such a rapidity that we keep moving forward and moving forward so greatly that whatever is next after this current situation on our planet, that whatever that is, that we don't enter it back with all of the masks, but that we enter back into this new era of being mask-free because we have done our work, because we have been willing to tell the truth, to speak our truth, no matter how raw or how messy or how vulnerable it may feel. And so you might think that you have no one to do that. And I want to challenge you on that. I want to say that that's a story. When we say, I have no one to do that, or no one understands me, or it's not safe to do that, I want to challenge you with that. And I want to say again, that is a story. And stories are fluid, and stories have the capability of changing. Pain pushes love. Love and pain, in this particular quote by Michael Beckwith, is the same thing. Love pushes until that freedom pulls, until the visionary part of you is going to pull. That will not let up. And this so-called pandemic is another expression of love that in no way discounts anyone's earthly experience, that in no way desensitizes the so-called suffering of those who are dealing with the virus or dealing with loved ones who are exiting. But you have to remember that love, the ultimate story of the movie, is that this earth experience is not really the quintessential movie of freedom. It's a curriculum. It's a cleansing. And that as we have signed up to be here, we have signed up for the curriculum. We have signed up for this paradoxical journey that invites us to put on masks, realize that we have masks, and then decide whether or not we're going to take them off. And wherever we are in the process of that realization or self-awareness is where we are. But we are all here. And so our opportunity before us is to start telling the truth immediately. And so again, going back, you might think that there's not there. That again is a story. So how do you let go of that story? Create the intention. Create the intention that says, I am willing to tell the truth. And I am willing to be available to and to recognize those people that it is safe for me to do that. And begin to do that. That's the beauty of a certain aspect of Catholicism, where there is confession. Confession is good for the soul. Confession is supposed to represent telling the truth. That's the beauty of the recovery program, where in those particular steps, there is that part of creating a moral inventory and then speaking that moral inventory to someone else. Because in the speaking of that, in the telling of the truth about how you feel, you begin to unravel and dismantle all of the mental lies, and you begin to take off all of the masks. And so to me, that is an example of shape-shifting. Shape-shifting, by definition, is really about transcending identity, letting go of identities, letting go of loyalties to stories about who we think we are or what we should be. There was a great, wonderful American dancer by the name of Gabrielle Roth. And she said that your soul, the purity of who we are, the freedom of us, is both a seeker, a lover, an artist, and that we shapeshift through all of these archetypal energies or stories. We dance between the darkness and the fields of light. We dance between the body and the spirit, between the heavens and our hells, until we land in the moment of that sweet surrender, when you and I, as that dancer, disappear into the dance. That sweet surrender of that moment, for me, is telling the truth. The way in which we move forward into the greater embodiment of realizing the movie of freedom is telling the truth. And so why don't we do a little bit of moral inventory? Why don't we look at all of the places where we are not telling the truth? And lastly, in my personal quest to tell the truth over these last few years, I became fascinated by shamanism. And as I was looking at the ways in which to avail myself and to study, I came across these three particular steps in shamanism that were helpmates in that particular movement on the path. And the first step to me was really the one that was and continues to be the most challenging, if you will. And it is, show me what I have become. Show me what I have become. I want you to think about the magnitude of that request. Show me what I have become. Because really what you're asking is to be shown all of your bias, to be shown all of the lies, to be shown all of the inauthenticity, to be shown the collection of masks that you are walking around with. Because if you really want to be free, if I want to be free, then we also must be willing to turn to the identities that we have been holding on to and to begin to look at that. That next step is return me to my soul at all cost. In other words, return me to the purity of that. And then finally, it is heal my heart. Pain pushes until the vision pulls. Telling the truth pushes us into greater degrees of freedom. How much do you want to be free? Ram Dass shared a story about his days of working in the prisons in San Quentin. He said that on death row, some of the most profound things would happen as they would meditate together. That in the room with those death row prisoners, that light would emanate from their body. And he realized that being in death row had pushed them, the pain had pushed them into such a place that they were left without any masks. And that they had let go all of their melodramas and identity. He said the same wasn't true when he went to the other cell blocks where those people who were had life sentences were. He said perhaps it's because they had not been pushed by that pain into a place where they were free to let go of their melodramas. And I want to suggest to you and I that perhaps we can allow ourselves to be pushed, to be beautifully pushed into a place where we are free to let go of the lies. So my prayer for you at this time is that you find a way to allow that in. Know that it is there. Know that I honor that process and that I'm in that process with you. And as one of us tells the truth, we give a greater cosmic permission for more of us to tell the truth. Don't be afraid to show who you really are, because in that then is the more fulfillment of the embodiment of freedom. I invite you to close your eyes for a moment and to take a deep breath. And just very, very quickly, as we allow this message to center into us in whatever way that it wants to, that you take it in. Understanding that you don't need to have to figure out the how. That the how is organic. That all that we must do is be willing to move forward in that line of seeing the movie of freedom. And so we say yes to that. We say yes to the unknown, the vulnerability of taking off just perhaps one mask right now. What is the one that makes you fearful the most? What is the one that suppresses you, hovers over you, and weighs heavy on your heart? Perhaps that is the exact one that you are to start with. And so I call upon all of that which is a cosmic support system, that which is your divine soul tribe, that which is your perfect guide, your perfect spiritual relationship, to come in right now and to speak to you, to beckon you, to handhold you into a place of willingness of telling the truth. I speak that for all of us. I speak that for myself. And I know that even as we speak it now, it is done. That we are visited, that we are connected, and that all is well. I invite you to stay in that beautiful centered moment now as we go back to Ripple.